Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years, which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. And before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have questions or comments, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history, July 27th. In 1794, the infamous Robespierre, the violent anarchist leader of the French Revolution, who advocated the execution of more than 17,000 people by guillotine, is captured and himself guillotined along with 17 others in Paris, another bloody example of the continuing chaos related to the reign of terror that existed after King Louis XVI and his regime were overthrown. In 1921, Canadian scientists Frederick Banting and Charles Best at the University of Toronto isolate insulin, linked to the then deadly disease of diabetes, which had plagued millions around the world. Within a year, treatments for diabetes were being given to thousands, helping to save lives and make a leap forward in the medical treatment of major chronic ailments. And in 1949, the de Havilland Comet, the world's first jet-propelled airliner, makes its maiden flight in England. De Havilland would go on to become a leader in the aircraft industry, producing some of the highest quality, lightest aircraft engines in the business. A few years later, the British Overseas Aircraft Company, BOAC, began the first international commercial jet service, immortalized in a Beatles song about going back in the USSR, jet engines transforming the commercial and military applications of aircraft forever. Industrialists are generally known to have built large companies that provide products and services in demand for society. Yet many people don't know that some industrialists also bring wonderful things like historic structures, beautiful gardens, state-of-the-art hospitals, and other facilities to our country. Alfred I. DuPont was one of those industrialists. Alfred built his home, called Nemours, named after the region in France where his great-great-grandfather lived decades before. The Nemours Mansion is a stunning example of elegance and grace on the outskirts of Wilmington, Delaware. Nemours is a 77-room structure, which is complemented by the largest formal French gardens in North America, 200 acres of scenic woodlands, and a superb collection of vintage antique automobiles. Alfred also had a big heart, establishing a trust, which later gave life to the Alfred I. DuPont Hospital for Children. John Rum is the executive director of the Nemours Mansion and Gardens, who oversees this beautiful example of fine architecture and landscaping, a haven of serenity in the Brandywine Valley. Nemours is open to the public and welcomes thousands of visitors every year. John is here to tell us about it. John, welcome to the show.
Gene, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. The Nemours Mansion was the home of Alfred DuPont, but a lot of people don't really know much about his life. Could you tell us a little bit about him and his life there?
Sure. Well, as you said, he is known as an industrialist. He was the last member of his family to serve an apprenticeship in the Black Powder Yards. Many people, I think, know that DuPont got started in 1802 as a gunpowder company making black powder on the Brandywine. And Alfred was the great-great-grandson of the scion, Pierre Samuel DuPont de Nemours, whose son, Eleuther Irénée DuPont, founded the DuPont Company. Alfred was somebody with a mechanical mind. He studied engineering at MIT, never graduated there, came back home to the Brandywine, which was really his first love. To the end of his life, he thought of himself as a powder maker, first and foremost. Mm. He was also a health nut, somebody who was very interested in outdoor exercise. He was somebody who was kind of a bon vivant. He loved life, lived it to its fullest.
Interesting. Now, Nemours is named for this region in France. Do we have much information about that area where his ancestors were?
It's about 25 miles away from Paris, and as you said, it's named for Pierre-Samuel Dupont de Nemours, or rather, Pierre-Samuel Dupont was the was from that that area near Paris. He was a member of the court of Louis the 16th, an economist, a philanthropist, a philosopher himself. I like to think that Alfred chose that name deliberately, Nemours, because of something that he had handed down to him, that when Pierre-Samuel Dupont invested his two sons, kind of brought them into adulthood, Ernest Dupont and Victor Dupont, he reminded them that with every station goes a responsibility, that, to put it differently, that if you occupy a place of privilege in society, you have a responsibility to give back. It's the notion of noblesse oblige. And I think Alfred, more than most members of his family, not only understood that, but it was part of his DNA. And so I think naming his estate Nemours reflected his commitment to giving back to society.
You know, the DuPont family here in America goes back well over 200 years, and they're a very important part of American history. Clearly, their biggest achievement in terms of corporations was the DuPont Company, but there are many, many other things that the DuPont family did as well. Could you talk just a little bit about the family history here in America with the things they've done?
Sure. Well, coincidentally or ironically, the DuPonts settled in Delaware, which was then and still is a very small state, and for much of its history had a fairly passive government. And the DuPonts are probably best known for the things that they did to better Delaware. Coleman DuPont was the person who was responsible for Route 13 to move traffic from Wilmington down to the shore. Pierre Samuel DuPont, best known for Longwood Gardens, located just outside of Delaware in Kennett Square area. He gave a lot of money to education. Henry Francis DuPont, the man who developed Winterthur as one of the foremost entities for decorative arts. And Alfred I. DuPont, who is, by any lights, one of the leading philanthropists of the 20th century, and yet a story there that's not really well known.
I think a lot of people do know the DuPont name, but they don't know all these wonderful accomplishments of the family, and I appreciate your sharing that. Alfred's Trust, I guess, subsequently opened a hospital for kids. When was that constructed, and could you talk a little bit about his philanthropic activity?
Sure. Now, this happened after Alfred's death. Alfred died in 1935. His will, which he wrote in 1932, said several things, but key to why I'm here and why Nemours is here is, first of all, he stated that he wanted his mansion, gardens, and grounds maintained for the pleasure and benefit of the public, which is why Nemours opened in 1977 for that purpose and continues to do that today. More importantly, he gave the bulk of his estate to a trust. The trust, in turn, it's still alive, the Alfred I. DuPont Testamentary Trust, that set up the Nemours Foundation, based in Jacksonville, Florida, and the primary, in fact, the sole beneficiary of that is the Nemours, what is now the Nemours Children's Health System, the largest integrated pediatric health system in the country. But the will specified that a hospital was to be built, a hospital for sick and crippled children to be built on the grounds of Nemours, on the campus. It's about the original hospital is about 300 yards from the mansion.
Interesting. And what's the connection with Jacksonville, Florida? I wasn't aware of that.
In a nutshell, Alfred and his cousin Pierre, the two of them along with Coleman, had bought the DuPont Company in 1902. They had a major falling out in 1915, depending on which account you believe. Alfred was either forced out or he left because he was treated so badly. Regardless, he wound up taking a large block of stock with him and had no association with the DuPont Company after that. In 1927, Pierre was appointed tax commissioner of the state of Delaware, and Alfred pretty much said the last thing I want is for him to be snooping around my finances, and so he headed to Florida, relocated to Jacksonville, and set up shop there, and got there just before the bubble burst. He lost a lot of money, but he made a lot of money in areas like manufacturing and real estate and railroads, and did quite well. So when he died, the Nemours Foundation was set up in Jacksonville. It's still there today, and Alfred continued during his life to go back and forth between Delaware and Florida.
Interesting. When was the house actually built?
House was built between 1909 and 1910. Alfred was married three times. His first wife, Bessie, he had divorced in 1906. In 1907, he married a divorced woman named Alicia Maddox. And the story is that he built Nemours for her, really as a way to win her affection. It didn't work. You know, you don't know what it takes. You build a 47,000-square-foot mansion with 77 rooms and a half mile of formal gardens, and it doesn't work. But the two of them lived together at Nemours. They had kind of a rocky relationship, very sad relationship, too. They had three children, all of whom died in infancy, so a lot of tragedy there. Alicia died in 1920, and in 1921, Alfred married for the third time a woman 20 years his younger, Jessie Du Ball, and they had a wonderfully happy marriage. Jessie lived at Nemours after Alfred's death from 1935 until her death in 1970.
Interesting. Now, the house is really quite elaborate. Tell us just a little bit about its design and construction.
The house, it is elaborate. It was designed by the architectural firm of Currier and Hastings, who for their time were one of the leading public architects of the day. Among other things, they had the commission to build the state, the Senate and House office buildings in Washington, D.C. They designed the New York Public Library. They had other large public buildings like that.
Interesting. Before we take a break, we just got 1 minute here. I understand there is a mission for Nemours. What exactly is the mission, and what types of things do you try to bring to the public?
It's very simple. It flows right out of Alfred's statement that every person has a duty to alleviate human suffering. The mission of Nemours is to save children's lives. We'll talk more about that after the break.
Yes, thank you so much. We are discussing the Nemours Mansion and Gardens with John Rum, the executive director there at Nemours outside of Wilmington, Delaware. But we are taking a brief commercial break, and we will be right back.
Do you have a wedding, graduation, baptism, confirmation, milestone, or birthday to plan? You need John Surratt Catering, one of the most highly rated and preferred caterers throughout the Philadelphia area. They will be there to create and cater your event while assisting as much or as little as you desire. Planning a decadent, over-the-top company gala? Need help transforming your backyard into the party of the year? Want to wow your clients with a delicious luncheon? Then you need John Surratt Catering. All you have to do is call, and they'll handle the rest. Located at 835 Lincoln Avenue in Westchester, visit them at SurrockCatering.com or call 610-640-2836. That's 610-640-2836.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini services Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer. 610-873-1696.
From Westchester to Coatesville, from Kennett to Chester Springs, from Parksburg to Paoli, this is your home for all things Chester County. WCHE 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County.
I'm Gene Pasale, and this This is Living History. Today we're talking with John Rum, the executive director of the Nemours Mansion and Gardens outside Wilmington, Delaware. John, you mentioned, just a little while ago, that Nemours was open to the public in 1977?
That's correct, mm-hmm. Yes.
And how long have you been director there?
I have been there a year and a week this week. Mm-hmm. I came in July of 2015, came mm-hmm. out here from Wyoming. Actually coming back to Delaware after being away for 30 years. I did my graduate work at the university, got a master's and a PhD in history and museum studies. Mm-hmm. So I'm thrilled to be back here, but it's been quite a year of change. Among other things, we have changed our name. We are now known officially as Nemours Estate. Mm. That goes back to the way that Mr. DuPont himself referred to it. Mm. We're talking before the program, and you mentioned you had not been to Nemours, that you drive by, and I think that's... I meet so many people who have said that, and I myself had never been there until I came for my interviews. Mm-hmm. It is kind of a hidden wonder. But we have tried to go back to the will and to the mission of Nemours to be maintained for the pleasure and benefit of the public. Mm-hmm. When Mr. DuPont wrote that, he did not qualify who the public was. Mm-hmm. It's open-ended, and we take him at his word. So we have opened it up. Up until this year, there had been a restriction that no children 12 and under were allowed on the grounds. We've removed that. Mm-hmm. Up until this year, we were doing only reserve tours, which really restricted the number of people who could see it. We've removed that. It's now open access, family-friendly, self-paced, self-guided. The same guides that we had stationed who led tours are now stationed throughout the mansion to provide information, share stories. Most importantly, from my standpoint, is also part of that public, in addition to the visitors we've served, are the patients at the hospital right next door, the pediatric patients, their families, the caregivers and providers, all the doctors, nurses, surgeons, so forth, and the entire Nemours organization, as well as the broader community. So it's a very expansive view of who the public is. I ask myself, what are the pleasures and benefits that people can find there? You can find beauty. You can find joy. Mm-hmm. You can find so much. You can find serenity. Mm-hmm. You can find solitude. So we are engaging with the hospital side very actively to provide nature-based healing experiences to benefit all of the groups that I mentioned, along with our core visitors who we have welcomed since 1977.
Mm, excellent. What are your major responsibilities there at Nemours?
Well, as the executive director, I oversee a staff of about 55 people. It's a large property. We have a dedicated group of gardeners and groundskeepers to maintain the gardens impeccably. The grounds look beautiful. We have about 25 guides. We have people at the visitor center. We've got housekeepers. So my job is to kind of form a team, build these, we get these people working together, and to work, as I said, to engage with the hospital and with the entire Nemours organization in ways that we, frankly, up until now have not done.
Mm-hmm. When people visit there, what can they expect to see when they walk in the front doors for the tour?
Well, the first thing is they won't walk right in the front door. They'll come to our visitor center, which is on 850 Alapocas Road in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. That's where they'll get their pass. We have day passes, and they'll come through the gates of the estate, and from that point, they can get off the shuttle bus and walk. As I mentioned, we have the formal gardens, you alluded to that run for about a mile and a half. Mm. We've got 200 acres of grounds. Once they get to the mansion itself, they'll see this magnificent limestone structure with three floors that are open to the public. Mm. The first floor, which is the formal areas, the reception hall, the drawing room, the dining room, and so forth. Second floor are the bedrooms, Mr. Mm. and Mrs. DuPont's bedroom, Mr. DuPont's sitting room, Mrs. DuPont's sitting room. The basement houses mechanical rooms. Mr. DuPont, as an engineer, is very proud of his mechanical rooms, his dynamos, and his water bottling plant and ice making plant, and what we affectionately refer to as the man cave, which was his office, but also where he had a bowling alley, he had a shuffleboard table, he had game rooms. It really was a man cave.
And everything you'd want in a house.
Absolutely. And then some.
Yeah. I've mentioned earlier, I've driven by there many, many times, and now I really want to stop in for a visit. You mentioned to me Jesse Ball DuPont's story is every bit as important as her husband. Tell us a little bit about her and,
yeah,
and the story.
Absolutely. I think just as Nemours is a hidden gem, I think the life story of Jesse DuPont is one of America's hidden stories. As I said, she was 20 years Alfred DuPont's junior. She had been a school teacher in California. He met her at her family's farm in Virginia when he was hunting. She came with him to Nemours, to Delaware, to live. She had a lifelong commitment to education. Her foundation has given upwards of $20 million for scholarships and education, but she saw her life's work as fulfilling her husband's vision of developing a hospital for sick and crippled children on the grounds of Nemours' estate. Mm-hmm. She dedicated herself to that, got the best people in the country, the best orthopedists, to help her in that mission, and as I said, devoted her life to it. And Nemours would not be the institution it is today without her driving force and her own commitment to philanthropy and to helping children.
Well, the hospital is a wonderful example that industrialists can give back many times over to society. So that's great news to hear. You also mentioned a kind of an interesting dissection of the word history. And first is kind of high as in hello, and then parts of the word just understanding history and various people's story. Tell us a little bit about your perspective on the
sure.
word history.
And yeah, I have done this presentation on the two words of history, and people always say his and story, but there's only one S in there. So it's hi, which means hello, which is a way of making people feel welcome. And then the other word, of course, is story, which is the way we make sense of the world around us. So the epiphany I had probably 15 years ago was that the art of history is those two words. It's making people feel welcome to tell them stories about people just like themselves, mm-hmm. but separated by the gulf of time. I think I was listening as you read off the events that are marked in today, and those are great. We frame our understanding of history around events, dates, and names, and famous people, and yet on that same list, you could put all the people who on this day went to summer camp for the first time in their life, or made their first communion, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we tend to think about history as being large and out there, and forget that history is made by people. We measure it in moments, but it's made by people. And what has fascinated me as a historian is the individuality of history and how complex it gets when you bring it down to the level of everyday real people mm-hmm. whose lives are so idiosyncratic. I've spent my life exploring the lives of individuals and Alfred and Jesse, but also the people who lived and worked there. I think their stories are also part of what we want to offer at Nemours.
American history is the story of us all.
Absolutely.
And certainly the DuPont various estates, including Nemours and Longwood Gardens, is a very much an important part of that history. I had mentioned earlier, I have not visited Nemours. I'm going to very soon. Can you tell us about any special artwork or other items of interest there inside the house?
Well, the house is filled with works of art. Jesse, Alfred kind of left that to Jesse, and she bought works of art from Europe and from America. We have artworks going back to the 1500s, along with tapestries, and I mean the house is filled with antique furniture, with art, with ceramics, and so forth. So people will have a veritable feast for the eyes if they come in. But it's also filled with stories—the stories of the DuPonts who lived there and the families that worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
You had asked me if I had a favorite. I'd be hard pressed to tell you a favorite. I keep finding things that are tucked away, and recently open up a folder and it was Alfred I. DuPont's driver's license and Social Security card. And, you know, little things like that, again, make him come alive to me as a real person. He was somebody who had a keen sense of humor. He himself, by the age of 13, was totally deaf, yet he composed and played music. He formed an amateur orchestra, the Tankerpanikan String Orchestra, which became today's Delaware Symphony Orchestra. So man of many talents, and Jesse herself was a person who had friends from all walks of life, and the two of them just made Nemours into a place where anybody who was anybody wanted to come for dinner, for good times, and we want them to come also.
Excellent.
Anybody who is anybody.
Yeah, excellent. Does Nemours have archives or a kind of set of books, letters, manuscripts?
We do. We're in the process. The house underwent a restoration from 2005 to 2008, and There's a lot of stuff that was put aside to be dealt with at a later time. So this is the later time. So we're going through hundreds of boxes of things and finding archival materials, letters, diaries, photographs, along with the artworks and so forth. Now, most of their papers, the DuPont's papers, are done at Washington and Lee University, but, but we actually have some wonderful materials which we're discovering. We hope eventually to be able to share those with the public.
Do you get many inquiries from scholars asking to conduct research there?
We get some. Now, again, Nemours has been a hidden secret. It has not publicized what it's had. This is a new day, and I'm all about open access and trying to make the riches available to people. We will make things available on an as-needed basis. We need to upgrade our website and other things before we can do a lot of that. But, yeah, we do have people who are interested in knowing what's there. And recently, for example, we had a graduate student from the university who was interested in the story of Alfred I. DuPont's involvement with providing pensions to senior citizens in Delaware, another untold story. 5 years before Social Security, Alfred DuPont was paying for pensions out of his own pocket and persuading the state of Delaware to develop a an old age pension program.
Excellent. I know you mentioned that he was responsible for the building of the Nemours Mansion and then the trust, the Alfred I. DuPont Hospital. Are there any other structures or facilities in the region tied to Alfred I. DuPont?
Not so much Alfred. I mean, his focus was his estate. Down in Florida, he had Epping Forest, which was his other estate there. I think really his legacy is what was not built, but it was this impetus to make a better society. And as I said, I think he understood that more than other members of his family, this commitment to making a better life, and his particular interest there was making a better life for sick and crippled children. Nemours, reflecting that now, is a completely integrated health system with two hospitals, the one here in Wilmington, another one down in Orlando, Florida, serving upwards of 500,000 children a day, a year.
Excellent. When people come to see Nemours, real quickly, what should they take away from their visit? What's the message?
Take away a sense that this is an amazing place to visit, and you too can make amazing contributions to society yourself.
Now I want to visit even more. I mentioned earlier that Nemours is open to the public. Your website is the Nemoursmansion.org, www.nemoursmansion.org. Tell us a little bit about the operating hours, when people should visit.
Our regular season goes from May through mid-November, so we're closing this year on November 13th. We're open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 5. The mansion itself is open 11 to 4. We're open on Sunday from noon to 5. The mansion is open 1 to 4. Starting November 19th, we'll be open for our Christmas season through January 8th of 2017. Our hours then will be 10 to 4 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 8 on Saturday, and noon to 4 on Sunday.
Excellent. And real quickly, before we go, any special events coming up?
None that we're planning, although, again, in terms of access, we are looking to develop a whole range of community programs on the estate, but we're talking about in the years to come. Right now, we don't have anything on the horizon.
Excellent. John, thank you so much for joining us today. That was an excellent interview and discussion about Nemours and the philanthropic activities.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, and it's a pleasure, and please invite all your listeners to come and see us.
Absolutely. Stop by the Nemours Mansion, and also please tune in next Wednesday, August 3rd, when we'll be speaking with Jim Angelucci of Phillips Mushrooms. Thank you all for joining us today for Living History.